Well, good morning, everyone. It is, as always, wonderful to be standing up here. It's always amazing when we have a combined service. The church is just packed. It's wonderful. I have two readings for you today. They're both very, very familiar to you, but I don't want you to look them up. You'll know where they are. I don't want you to look them up. I want you to just listen. Okay. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder and the rod of his oppressor. And the gospel reading. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was made with God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Today, we're just over a week away from Christmas. Just a little over a week until the Christmas presents are all wrapped. Oh, that's better. Are all wrapped and unwrapped and strewn across the floor. The turkey is in the oven, or the fish on the barbie, and the pav is sitting precariously in the fridge. Just a week until Christmas. How are you holding up, ladies? Yeah? I've got lists a mile long. It's a nightmare. Just over a week until Christmas, until the day that we remember the most remarkable event in human history. The day that God, the God of the universe, divested himself of all his power, all his glory and might, all his kingship and majesty, and stepped into the world as a child. The day that the foundations of the kingdoms of this earth were shaken to their depths. The day that love came down into the world. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. We are waiting for the day when light and life and love came and lived among us, full of grace and truth. And we know this. We know it, right? But how easy it is to lose sight of this remarkable truth as we struggle with the everlasting, endless to-do lists of this season. And it's easy to forget in the endless kitsch of Christmas, the snow-covered Christmas cards down here in Aotearoa, carols with words that no one listens to on an endless loop in shops, The reindeers, and the tinsel and the glitter. It's so easy to forget, or at least minimize, the amazing truth that love came to live among us. And he's never gone away. Of course, he's been here from the beginning. From the very beginning, we were created out of love. Let me read you a short passage from one of my favorite parts of the Bible. It's from Proverbs. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limits so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the children of men. We were a delight from the beginning, fashioned from love, made for joy. And even when we turned away, as his people did continually through the Old Testament, the God of love never ceased wooing his creation, shaping his own people to be a beacon to the nations, sending them out of slavery, leading them into the promised land, dwelling with them in the temple, and then sending prophets to warn them, and then to comfort and to guide them. And if we look over the whole arc of human history, we see a history of darkness and war and oppression, where the rich and powerful have savaged the poor and made slaves of the innocent. We know that what we see on the news today is not new news. There has always been tyranny. The lives of the poor have always been in jeopardy. The rape of the land began when we first left Eden. Yet still we hear, through all the dark noise and all the dark shadows, the quiet and caressing whisper of God's love, and see the gentle, steady hands of love. Of love at work. We see God's love when great leaders rise up to challenge the powers of darkness. We saw it when Martin Luther challenged a corrupt church some 400 years ago, when John Wesley set out to take the gospel and social justice to the working people in the factories, when Wilberforce and his allies took on the slave owners. We see God's love when Martin Luther King voiced his dream in front of the crowds at the Lincoln Memorial that black and white children would one day hold hands together. We see the love of God when Pope Francis speaks out against the ideologies and the rulers of our age. We see the love of God in the resistance of Tafiti and the villagers at Parahaka, in the Salvation Army officer ministering to alcoholics on the streets, in Mother Teresa and her order ministering to the poorest of the poor. We see God's love in the street van in Palmerston North. We see God's love in the work of this church to establish and sustain Te Ara Honoa, and in our acts of faith and obedience in buying our building for God's work in this community. Maybe also for raising money for houses for refugees. We see God's love in every act of kindness and selflessness. Through the million of acts and charity and love that happen in everyday lives, that happen in your life, God speaks of something that goes beyond power and darkness, that is greater than all the wealth of the world. The story of love is the counter-narrative that whispers through Earth's history, telling us who God is and of his heart for his whole creation. Love shines above and through all. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will never overcome it. And while love is a constant grace running through the decades and centuries of human history, one special day is set aside for love. Christmas the sweetest and gentlest and most remarkable day of God's love made manifest is just 1 week away. And as we see God step down from his heavenly throne and strip himself of the power and majesty that made the universe, as we see him cast aside the strength that created the heavens and the earth, as we see him relinquishing the right and glory and honor that causes angels to fall on their knees before him, and we see all this, we know anew what it means to love and to be loved. He laid it all down for you, for me, for us. He lay, God, Creator, King, helpless and vulnerable and entirely dependent, in the arms of a young peasant girl, for us, for love of us. And the heavens sang, and angels and stars appeared in our skies, and shepherds and kings raced to meet him, and the animals in the stable breathed their soft, warm breath on him to keep him warm. And the tyrants in Jerusalem trembled with fear and rage and despair. Love, 2,000 years ago, lay among us. And we know what happens next. We know that the child grew up and became a man and walked throughout the countryside of Judea and in the towns and cities of Israel, preaching a gospel of love, healing the sick and crippled, restoring the outcasts, comforting the sorrowing, raising the dead, setting free those who were captive to sin, and declaring that today is the day of Jubilee, when all sins are forgiven and all debts are repaid. And we know that the powers of darkness pursued him and killed him. This child, this God made incarnate. And we know that love defeated death and all darkness and threw open the gates of heaven. The story of love begins with love entirely vulnerable, and it ends with love triumphant forever and ever and ever. Glory to God. Every sermon in Advent should be a love letter to the church, to the people of God. So let me tell you, as if you're hearing it for the very first time, that this wee baby, born 2,000 years ago, came to earth for you. Because you are the light of his life, the child of his heart, because he made you and shaped you out of love. You need to know that he dreamed of you before the creation of the world, before time began. And that nothing, no sin, no fault, no weakness, no failing, nothing can separate you from that love. You are his. You, just as you are his delight. And furthermore, we have the promise, the absolute promise, that one day, as this life fades away, you will leap into the arms of everlasting love. That you will live forever, a life of hope fulfilled, a life of peace and joy, a life of love and a deep abiding joy that never ends. And may we know this, not just as individuals, but as a church. God loves this church. He loves Central Baptist. He brought us together for a reason. We are his people of love, designed by love, sustained by love, and called to love. How would it be if we saw ourselves that way? I've been reading a book about Thomas Merton, who was a Trappist monk and a poet who lived in the middle of the last century. And he had an experience that I wanted to share with you. So one day he had to leave his monastery for an errand, and he describes what he saw. At the corner of the street, I was overwhelmed with the realization that I loved all those people, that they were mine and I theirs, even though we were total strangers. It was like waking from a dream of separateness. The sense of liberation from an illusory difference was such a relief and such a joy to me that I almost laughed out loud. If only everyone could realize this. But it cannot be explained. There is no way of telling people that they are all walking around shining like the sun. And that is us. The differences that divide us are entirely illusory. None of us are alone. We are all connected to one another by the strength of God's love and purpose for us. We are all walking around or sitting here, shining like the sun. That's how God sees this church. We are the light of the world, called to love one another, and to love God's beautiful, broken world. To carry on the work of love that began 2,000 years ago in a stable in Bethlehem. This is our peace, our joy, and our hope. Love is the center of all things, the Alpha and the Omega. Love is our beginning and our end. Love is our purpose, and it is our destination. And so, it is nearly Christmas, the day of God's great act of love. And when we see Christmas this way, through the prism of love, then everything changes. Every gift we buy and wrap and receive, it doesn't matter how big or small it is an echo of that first gift of love given by God almost 2,000 years ago. What if we saw each gift that way? Each light on every Christmas tree and each piece of sparkly tinsel becomes a sign of the light and love of Christ. So wherever we go in this season, whether we're walking in the plaza or the square or visiting someone's house or looking at the amazing light shows in some people have made in their garden, we can see that the world is simply shining with the love of God. Each act of service, each preparation of food or serving of food, each, shall we say, 10-minute period of time spent with our most annoying cousin or our most irritating colleague becomes an act of love to both that person and to God. Every moment of solitude or loneliness becomes an opportunity for gratitude, an opportunity to know and engage with the person who loves you most. Each ache of loss and grief that we might feel at this time becomes a reminder of the love we have shared or do share, a reminder of bonds that never can be broken by distance or death. Because when we love, we are bound up in a love, the love of God that never lets us go. You and I, we are in the possession of a love that passeth all understanding. A love that came to earth at Christmas. And everything changes because of that. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the valley of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. That's us, born into darkness and living in eternal light. And now we, by the grace of God, we are the light of the world. May the hope and joy and peace of Christmas flow over you this Advent. May the love of Christ flow through all of us. May we be a blessing an echo of God's love to everyone we meet in the coming week and throughout our Christmas celebrations. May we shine like the sun with the light and love of Christ. Amen.